This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
I preached a message early in the year called The Unshakable Shaker, and this morning is part two. So, end of last year, Festus Sawoni, he came to... He shared about the unshakable shaker, the immovable mover. And I thought that is just so cool. I need to unpack that a little bit more. So that's what I'm doing. So God is the unshakable shaker. In the scriptures, we see this, that the kingdom of God is the unshakable kingdom. The Bible says that we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Cannot be shaken. That is the kingdom that we are receiving, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. But the truth is, everything outside of God's kingdom will be shaken. And I don't know about you, but the feeling of being shaken, being afraid, being anxious, not being able to sleep, it's traumatic, it's tormenting even. When you are lying awake at night worrying about the future, worrying about where finances will come from, worrying about... You know, how's this going to be solved? You know, so in general, people like you and me, we get shaken. Is it true? Yeah, we get shaken. And it's not a good feeling, is it? It's a terrible feeling to be shaken, but I believe that you and I can transition every part of our lives into the unshakable kingdom of God. Wouldn't that be cool? That you're no longer shaken, that when those, that you become the lighthouse. Doesn't matter if the waves crash in. It doesn't matter what government is doing or the politicians are saying. It doesn't matter what the economy is doing. It doesn't matter what's happening around us. The waves are crashing in. The waves are coming our way. But there's this promise in Scripture that we will be unshakable. And that's always been my dream. I've experienced this at times in my life. I'm like, I should be shaken, but I'm not, because there's something that happened on the inside. There's something being established on the inside. You see, the kingdom of God is within us. Come on, let's say it is within me. It's within me. So when the kingdom of heaven, the unshakable kingdom of heaven, is established on the inside of you, you will be unshakable. But the question is, how do we transition from the shakable realm into the unshakable realm? Who would like to be unshakable? Come on. No fear, no anxiety, no torment, no darkness on your soul, no heaviness. And I believe, and if I look at the scriptures and even just look at seasons of my life, I know it's available for every one of us, but we need to transition. So you see, victory begins on the inside of us. So often we feel like it's my environment, it's my surroundings, that's the problem. But I tell you, victory begins on the inside. It begins over here, in your heart and mind. The battle is over here, in your mind. That's where the battle is. That's where the enemy is building a case against us. So darkness comes, evil comes, and he begins to build a case. He says, look at what's not working. Ah, look at your weaknesses. You can't do this. Ah, look at this country. It's going to the dogs. And so he's building up a case, and if you continue to listen to that voice, you continue to listen to that voice, it's like this mountain is built up on the inside of you. And all you see is intimidation. All you see is, I don't know how we're going to do this. And how do we deal with this? We often escape. We want to medicate the pain, so we run to, you know, movies and TV and whatever else, alcohol or whatever, or drugs or whatever. We want to still the pain in a sense. And you can't. You can't in your own ability, but so I believe we need to build up another case. So the enemy's building up this mountain of unbelief, this mountain of doubt, this mountain of fear even. And the Lord is inviting you and me to build up a contrary case that will cause you and me to be unshakable, to build up our own mountain. The other mountain becomes like a molehill. It becomes small. Okay, so I want to share with you this morning how you and I can transition our lives from the shakable into the unshakable. I want to show us how we can receive a kingdom mindset so that we can build up a mountain of faith, a mountain of confidence, a mountain of peace, a mountain of trust in the living God. And the wonderful thing is it works. Come on, let's say it, it works. It works. The principles of God, it works. Helps us. You know, so I'm going to give you a few keys of how you can transition into that. But so the kingdom mindset is like Colossians 3 verse 2. It says, do not set your mind on things of the earth, but set your mind on things above. So you need to transition from the earthly to the heavenly. It also says you need to cast off the old man and put on the new man. Put on the new man. There's this the shakable realm, the corrupt old man, the old you, the sinful nature you. If you put that on, you're gonna experience corruption and you're gonna experience torment. On the other hand, if you put on the new man in Christ, Christ in us, the hope of glory, then you're gonna be free. Okay, but so let's look at this just to show you. Psalm 112, this speaks of never being shaken. So it says there, surely he will never be shaken. Come on, let's read this together from the start. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. And in a New Testament context, the enemies is just the devil. He's the enemy. It's always his fault. We just blame him for everything. But it's a beautiful scripture. It says, will not be afraid of evil tidings. You know, it says that the righteous will surely will never be shaken. Never be shaken. Come on, say never be shaken. Come on, let's say it. I will never be shaken. Now that is available to every one of us, but you need to transition out of the shakable realm into the unshakable realm. And how do we do this? We need to embrace a kingdom mindset. So I want to give you like four cornerstones to the kingdom mindset. Now some of you remember last year I spoke about the kingdom culture. And I basically shared that if you build it, God will come. If you build a kingdom of heaven culture environment, then God will come. Even like Solomon, he built Solomon's temple according to the blueprint of heaven. And then after he built it, the glory of God came. Now, who's the temple these days? Yes, you and I. We are temples, mobile temples. It works very well for everything that's mobile these days. Mobile temples, you and I are mobile temples. Now the question is, how do you create an environment within you where the kingdom of God can come so that you will not be shaken? I believe there are four cornerstones, four keys. You're all like imagine yourself building the temple of Solomon. So you put down the first cornerstone. And you walk around over here, you put down another cornerstone. And you walk over here and you put another cornerstone and you go here and you finish it up with that last cornerstone and the glory of God comes. And I believe that some of these principles I'm going to share with you now is like building an internal temple so that the kingdom of God can come within you so that you will not be shaken. Amen. Okay, so a while ago, I was feeling very, very overwhelmed a few years ago, very overwhelmed with my circumstances, and I was experiencing a heaviness in my heart. It's just like, felt heavy, I felt morbid. I felt like a heaviness, and I didn't see my way out. And so I went to God, and I was just praying to the Lord. And I said, "Lord, speak to me. Show me. I mean, help me. Help me." And then I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit whisper to me Isaiah 46, verses 9 and to around 13, 9 to 10 specifically. So in my book, Increasing Heaven's Flow, it's on the fourth day, I share a little bit about this. And Isaiah 46, and as I read this, it felt like I was moved out of a place of depression, out of a pit of despair into light. It was just like I was in a pit and suddenly I'm no longer in a pit. Just by reading it and studying these scriptures, and I believe there are these four keys that the Lord wants to share with us this morning. Okay, so let's read that. Isaiah 46, verse 9, it says, so this is in the context of Israel and a lot of problems, a lot of challenges in the country. And then the Lord speaks through the prophet, and he says, "Remember the things I have done in the past." Okay, so God's trying to help them get out of a pit of despair. "Remember the things I've done in the past, for I alone am God. I am God, and there is none like me. Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass. For I do whatever I wish." And it's like God just reminding everybody again, I am the man. I am God. You're forgetting this. Let me remind you. And then verse 13, "For I am ready," say ready, "to set things right, not in the distant future, but right now. I'm ready to save, and I'm ready to show my glory." That's a great passage. So I want to just highlight four things that comes from that. The first one is this. The Lord says there in verse 9, "Remember the things I have done in the past." So the first cornerstone of building the kingdom of heaven on the inside of you is to remember what God has done. You need to remind yourself. Do you? You see, I have the privilege of being a preacher, so I tend to share stories often. And sometimes even when I start off like I don't have much faith, and as I keep on sharing stories, it's like, yeah, that was amazing. And that was amazing. And that was amazing. God is awesome. And so are you remembering what God has done in your life? Are you reminding yourself? Are you writing it down? You know, I'm just thinking back of my beginnings. You know, I was a student, first year student at Stellenbosch University. I've been going to a traditional church for all my life. I didn't have a living relationship with God. I was confused. I was in darkness. I hated myself. I was a mess. I was a mess. And amazing things. I was in this hostel. My dad was in the same hostel in Stellenbosch, and I went to the same hostel, walking in my dad's footprints. And the reason I went to Stellenbosch is to go party. We're gonna party. That's why you are a student, I thought. So in the midst of the second term of my first year, like, God set me up massively. I lost this girlfriend. I had this disciplinary hearings against me for drinking too much on telephone duty in the hostel. I got everybody, the whole place was angry with me, especially the seniors and my first years, because I got them in trouble. I was a mess. In the midst of this, a senior in the hostel, he received a dream from God. So there's a guy. I was in another church, and he was in this shofar church. Shofar, that sounds weird. Probably some weird people, you know. So I knew he was in this other church. So I was quite afraid. So anyway, so this guy comes to me, and he says to me, "Andre, I had a dream last night. And in the dream, God appeared to me. And he said to me, invite Andre to church." My response was, "Dude, you are weird. you are weird. And I first resisted it, but a few days later, I went to church. I went to the shofar church, and the pastor prayed for me, and he touched my shoulder when I responded. I came to the front. He touched my shoulder, and he prayed for me, and I experienced like the fire of God just coursing through me. I had a touch from heaven. It rocked my world. But you see, the beauty of the story is you and I don't choose Jesus. He chooses us. I want to remind you, he chose you. That you are here this morning means he chose you. He loves you. None of us can save ourselves. None of us can choose God. He chooses us, and then he says, I can now respond, surrender to my love. Remember, you know, there's the movie Lion King. Simba forgot who he is, and then Mufasa speaks from the clouds. Remember, Simba, remember. And I believe God is speaking from the clouds. He's speaking to you and me, and he's saying, remember my faithfulness. Remember what I have done in your life. When you feel you're down and out and you've given up, you don't know which way is up or down, you feel like you in a tumble dryer. Remember, God saved you. And if he hasn't saved you yet, this morning is a great opportunity to surrender your life to Jesus. Remember. Come on, say remember. Are you sharing your story? Share the stories of God's faithfulness over the years, because that will shift your internal atmosphere, and you will, again, your heart will turn back to God. Amen. Okay, so that's the first one. You need the first cornerstone of remembering. In the same way, is look away from what isn't working and focus on what is working. Amen. Focus on what is working. So this verse, Psalm 100, verses 4 to 5, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Well-known passage. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Sonic and I, we do this once a year at least, but sometimes more. We say on our anniversary, then my wife gives me homework for our anniversary. We're going out for supper, nice restaurant, and then I have to work for this food. I have to write down 10 reasons why I will marry her again. It's prayerful, prayerful listing that. And I add a few extra just to show her there are more reasons why. But when you remember, when you remind yourself why you fell in love with this lady, why you... You know, why all the good things that's happened in your life, it shifts your atmosphere. Come on, so let's shift that atmosphere. Let the kingdom of God come. So the second one, the second cornerstone is where God says there, for I alone am God, and there is none like me. So in other words, the second cornerstone is instead of feeling overwhelmed with your circumstances and the things that's coming against you, remind yourself of the greatness of God. Be overwhelmed with the greatness of God. And so you need to write down. Do you write down all the things that God has done in your life? Do you write down every miracle, every time something good has happened? You see, when we feel overwhelmed, our molehill-sized problems become mountains. But in the light of the greatness of God, every mountain becomes a molehill. It cannot compare. That God is saying, guys, I am God. I created everything. Goodness gracious. So you think I can't help you? Some of us think like there's a crisis in your life and like God like falls off his throne. Oh no, what are we going to do? He lost his job. Just one job for you. Surely God can do that. He is faithful. You know, so you need to remind yourself of things like we were at Shofar Wellington 2 weeks ago. And we did a healing service the morning. So I spoke about the kingdom of God and that Jesus is the healer. And we had wonderful, wonderful things happen. So three of the things that happened was quite significant. The one guy, his name is Nick. He lost his hearing in his one ear 25 years ago. some form of virus infected his ear. He lost all his hearing in the one ear. So we had the privilege of praying with him, and then his hearing was completely restored. He heard exactly the same in both ears. Hallelujah. Come on, Jesus heals. Amen. And then we prayed for another lady. For 17 years, she's had back problems. She couldn't touch her toes, as I understand, for 17 years. Prayed for her. She felt like a heat running down her back, and she was touching her toes. Hallelujah. Amen. Why am I sharing this? Because I am reminding us of the greatness of God. That even when you feel like, man, I don't have hearing, man, my back is so painful. For those with back pain, it's terrible. You know, it affects your whole life. And then just suddenly God pitches up and he shifts it. And this is the coolest story. So there's a lady that was, when she was born, born with a Caesar operation, her hips were severely damaged. So she couldn't walk normally and she couldn't run. And so Sonica had a word of knowledge. It's like the Holy Spirit revealing that there's somebody with hip problems. There's someone with hip problems. And she was sitting in the audience thinking, God's not going to heal me. So she didn't come forward, as I understand. But one of our team guys prayed with her. And she said she was sitting in this chair. And the next moment, her knees, her legs started to shake or vibrate. And the next moment she felt somebody hugging her, holding her. There was no one holding her. And then her hips moved back into place. And 2 days later she sent us a message. She could walk normally and she can now run up and down the stairs, healed by Jesus. Come on, give Jesus a hand for that. That is our God. Our God is great and glorious. Jesus healed basically everybody. And he is still moving. He is still the healer. He is still the deliverer. You see, but when it comes to the greatness of God, it's like I might be facing something. Let's say someone's praying for me. I'm not getting healed. Well, it's not gonna shake me. Why? Because he is the healer. I'm not gonna be shaken. I'm not gonna give up. I'm not gonna be offended. You know, like with Sonica, we've shared this before. I mean, she's had back problems now since birth, basically, of Vian, like 9+ years. I've prayed for her so many times, nothing has changed. It's just weird. I don't know what it is. We've prayed for hundreds of people that have been physically healed, backs, hundreds of backs healed. But when I pray for my wife, it's like, in Jesus' name. Okay, test it. How are you feeling? And then she's like, sorry, honey, but nothing today. Are we going to be offended with God? No, because he is the unshakable shaker. He is so good. We do not doubt his goodness for a moment. So we cannot be shaken. I know if Sonic is not healed in this life, the day she walks into heaven, she will be. So we are eternally anchored. We are not confused, but Jesus is the healer even when I don't see him heal. He is the deliverer even when I don't see him deliver. He is the savior even when no one's getting saved. And if I stand, and if you stand, he is the provider even when you're doing like end of the month salty cracks. He's still the provider. Amen. That makes you unshakable. But man, it is good when Jesus reveals his glory. It is good. And that stirs us. But then I write it down and I remember, I go back to that. Say, God, you are good. I'm going to read that Psalm 100 again, back at Psalm 100. I want to read verse 5. It says that for the Lord is good. He's good. He's good. If you know that you know that you know that he's good, even when circumstances tell you no, he's not good, it will not shake you because you know he is good. And you're going to see it. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. Come on, say forever. Forever. And his faithfulness continues to each generation. God is faithful, and he will be faithful to the next generation and to the next generation and to the next generation. Now the question is, will you and I be shaken because we are not building this internal atmosphere of light and life and glory? Will we be shaken? Because that's basically what it comes down to. Are you positioning yourself, and are you allowing the unshakable kingdom of God to reign on the inside of you? So that's a choice you need to make. So the first thing is, remind yourself of the good things that God has done. Then remind yourself of the greatness of God. And then thirdly, remind yourself of what God has spoken. It says in Isaiah 46, it says there, "Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish." Everything I plan will come to pass. Our God sees into the future because he's in eternity. He sees everything right now, past, present, and future. Everything is now. So when he speaks, he can tell you, this is going to happen. This is how it's going to work. This is my plan. Everything I plan will come to pass. But the thing is, you need to position yourself in the plan of God if you want to see it come to pass. It's conditional. You know, I'm just thinking of Sonic and I, we were doing this marriage or sharing in Shofar Paul also a week or two ago. And so we are sharing our story of how we came together, how we became husband and wife. And I just, looking back again, I see the hand of God so beautifully in our lives. Again, the Lord sees and he decided, Andre and Sonica are a great team for my kingdom purposes. That's what I'm thinking. Okay, so that's something that God is thinking. So now he wants to make sure we are getting together. Because Sonica is beautiful. And obviously, all the men will gun for her. And God was worried, I'm going to miss out. So he made a plan. So he spoke to Sonica about the same month we met one another. He gave her the word in the 1 Samuel, where it says where the prophet came to anoint David king. And then it says, and there were 7 brothers that came past. But it wasn't them, it was number 8. The boy key from the shepherd fields. And so Sonica received this word. The Lord basically said, she didn't share with anybody, but she received this word saying, there are 7 men coming. It's not them, it's number 8. Freaky. But I am the Lord's favorite son. He wanted me to have the best. So he made a plan. So I number 7, I actually encouraged number 7. So I was in love with Sonica for about two and a half years. And I didn't say anything. Now that is a miracle in itself. Absolute miracle. So I was quiet and didn't tell her. She didn't get it. She's blonde. She didn't know. I am really, really interested. I mean, big bush. Like I bring her red roses, like huge things. And she's still not. Andre's such a nice guy. But anyway. But number 7, I actually encouraged a friend of mine. I encouraged him to pursue Sonica, and then she batted him. Until the time came for us. And it's just for me, it's an absolute miracle, huh? Any dating thing that works out is a miracle. But God is faithful. He sees the picture. He puts specific, he wants specific people together. He has a plan, but we need to align ourselves with his plan. So how do we do that? Do you have words of prophecy? Do you have scriptures speaking to you? You need to write them down, and then you need to do this. You need to declare it. You need to speak it. You need to tell all of creation the word of God is this. Do you go through life just being like, I am the victim? Or do you get up in the morning and you say, Lord, I'm speaking over my business. I am speaking over my family. I am declaring over my life. This is the will of God. Because you need to speak it. There's power in the spoken word. There's not power in the thought word necessarily. Amen. Are you taking words and are you speaking it? Are you taking the word of God and speaking it over who you are? Now that's what Sonic and I often do, and I know the other guys in church are also doing this. But you need to stand there, and proverbially in the mirror, and you need to say, "I am a son of God. I am the light of the world. I am the salt of the earth. I am who God says I am." We sang this beautiful songs this morning about being a child of God. You know, it's so powerful when we sing it and declare it. You're speaking the word of God over your life through praise. So you need to declare it, God, I am a child of God. You've split open the seas. You've drowned my fears in Jesus' name. Fear, die. Die. You need to speak it. You need to align your life with God's word, and then you need to speak that all of creation and everything around you can know this. You need to walk the aisles there at your workplace or at school or wherever you are, and you need to declare it. I tell the youth, I tell them, what do you do when you come to your school on a school day morning? You walk onto those fields. What do you think? What do you do? And they're like, no, we don't know what we do. I say, you say, this is my land. This is my promised land. This is my place. I will not be intimidated in this place. I will intimidate the others in Jesus' name. Well, in a nice way. But we live so passively. And then we don't have a kingdom mindset. When you declare the word of God boldly, you are renewing your mindset. You are aligning your mind and your heart with God's word, and then you are transformed. Amen. We fall for the negativity, the darkness, the lies of the enemy, and it puts us in a hole. God wants you to get out, but you need to do something. Remember what God has done. Remind yourself how great He is. And then remind yourself of God's word. Declare it. Stand upon His word and declare it over your life. Amen. Come on, this is some homework for you. You need to align your confession with God. Then you will move into that unshakable realm. And then the last one, you need to after you've done those three, the three cornerstones, you've done that. You've reminded yourself of all the good things God has done, so your heart is being lifted. You've reminded yourself of the greatness of God, and so your faith is being stirred even more. And then you've reminded yourself about what God has said over your life and His word, just in general. This is the word of God. Now you've set up. Woohoo! Just one cornerstone to go. One cornerstone to see the glory of God come. One cornerstone to see the kingdom of God come in your midst. What is that cornerstone? Step out. Look at what He says there. The Lord says, "For I am ready." Come on, let's say it. I'm ready. I am ready to set things right. Not in the distant future, but right now. Come on, say right now. I am ready to save and show my glory. Now, every promise in the scriptures is yes and amen in Jesus Christ. If it's good, you can claim it. That's what the Bible says. Every promise, all the promises in the scriptures becomes yours because you are a child of the King Most High. And the Lord is saying, I am ready, guys. I'm ready to move. I'm ready to save. I'm ready to heal. I'm ready to deliver. I'm ready to provide. I'm ready to reconcile broken marriages. I am ready to bring peace and joy into your heart and mind. I am ready to rock your world. But you need to build a kingdom mindset within you so that God can come and so that God can move through you. Amen. Good place to say amen. Amen. So there's this responsibility on your side and my side to build up this internal kingdom environment. And then God just doesn't want to give you joy and peace so that you can just sit on the couch and enjoy your movie. He wants you not to do something. He wants you to expect him to move, and he wants you to step out. Just amazing how God works. He does things suddenly. Suddenly. Suddenly, you pray for somebody, and suddenly, I mean, like with Stefan's dad. You know the story? Stefan's dad, he had this heart problem. The heart was too big, and he had multiple heart attacks, and he had to take afternoon naps, and he was on a handful of pills, thousands of rands every month. It was a mess, and they were terrified. 58 years old, and he's terrified that he's going to die. And so he responds on an altar call. He comes forward in a service, an evening service. We're not even talking about healing. We're just talking about the word of God. And so we pray with him, and then suddenly he feels a heat running through his body, and his heart is completely healed. Hallelujah. That's God. Just suddenly. So I want to speak this over you. God is here this morning to do something suddenly in your life. You could have been battling with it for 20 years, but suddenly. Deaf in one ear for 25 years, suddenly. 17 years of back problems, suddenly. From birth, couldn't walk or run normally, suddenly. Come on, let's say it. Suddenly, God's going to touch me. He's alive. Our God is not dead, tomb's empty. Good news. And he's still walking the earth through his Holy Spirit, as in you and me. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.